My name's Kevin. I'm an alcoholic.
Yay!
It's good to be here. I was going to use the whole drive thing, too, you know, but I came from Redlands, which is only like 2 hours, so, you know, the 4 hours kind of trump me. I love AA. I love what it's done to me and for me. I love this meeting, the structure of this meeting. I've been coming up here for many, many years, back in the day, coming up here in Larry Thomas and Johnny Harris, and, you know, staying the night and having the breakfast the next morning, and, you know, coming out here to see Mark. I want to thank Mark for asking me to come out. I'm not even going to bag on him for not being here, you know what I mean? I've been a speaker getter before for our Monday night meeting that he talks about, and sometimes you just can't be there, you know, and but every time I had missed, I got thrown under the bus, so it's like, you know, that ain't fair. Always looking for what's fair, right? Yeah, and it's really good to see this meeting grow. You know, I think the last couple times, we were out here when Amy was out here, and Susie did one of the main talks for that, and I'm glad to see Joe's doing better, you know? Yeah, so we came out here for that and got to hang out for the day with you guys and be part of this group. I absolutely do love this group. And I say love a lot, and I love Alcoholics Anonymous because I do. You know, I love the changes that have taken place in my life to go from where I was, where we were, to where we are now. I mean, he got his mom a cell phone, right? That's a gift. Going from where we were to where we are now, you know, and every time she answers the phone, you know, that smile that's on her face and talking to her son, you know. I know some of the other stuff that he did to his mom, so that's, you know, that's a good deal, you know. But I know how I treated my mom. You know, one time before I even get going on this, the structure of this meeting is a lot like ours, you know. And then we say, you know, turn off the cell phones. Like Dee was saying, then it rings, you know. I don't care. You know what I mean? My life was chaotic, so if the phone rings, answer it. Tell Mom I said hi, you know what I mean? My buddy was speaking at a meeting one time, and a homeless lady come walking through to get some coffee, and all wrapped up in a blanket. It was cold outside, and she got inside, and it was warm, so she took the blanket off, and she was butt naked. The meeting kept going, you know what I mean? Some of the things that we see around here. Yeah, I love being here, though. You know, one time my mom was cooking in the kitchen, and my dad had bought her a little TV on the counter so she can watch TV, and I remember coming through my room through the kitchen, snaked up the TV while she was watching it, and bounced and sold the TV to get what I need. You know? I didn't mean to do that to Mom, but I had to get what I had to get. I had to get right. You know? I had to calm that chaotic brain that's constantly going, telling me I'm in the wrong place, you know, I have the wrong parents, you know, I never feel comfortable where I am. He talked about that. You know, that's how I lived my life. I had my first drink, I was 13 years old. I went over to a buddy's house, and, you know, prior to that first drink, I don't remember thinking about alcohol one way or another. I knew my brother drank, and he's older than me, and his friends drank, and they did that weird thing called smoke weed, you know, and I knew that was going on. But I went over to my buddy's house, and his mom and dad left, and I we got into the liquor cabinet that night, and I know, you know, I drank as much as I could, as quick as I could. I don't know why that is then, but I know why it is now. You know, we got really drunk. His mom and dad came home. They got real mad. I was supposed to spend the night. They sent me home. And now my mom and dad are mad at me, and they push me off in my room, and I fall back on the bed, and the bed's flopping around, and I intuitively knew to put one foot on the floor. You know, we learned quick. And I remember laying there that night really, really sick, throwing up all night. And I remember thinking, man, I will never do this again. But then I have to back up, right? Because when I was over there and prior to that first drink, how I felt as a kid is how I kind of described restless, irritable, and discontent is what the book describes. But the way I felt was wrong family, wrong area, didn't fit in school, didn't have any friends. I felt alone. I felt different than, right? And after I got a few drinks in me, I felt part of, you know? And it was only me and him there, but I felt part of, you know? I was okay with life. And I developed this thought that night that alcohol made me feel better. And it's a simple little thought. I drank, I felt better. The problem is, I drank too much. You know, and after about 3 days, I'm thinking, when can I drink again? And within 3 days, I went and my parents were under the belief with my brother and his friends that they allowed them to drink in the home. They would have cake party and pool parties. You know, our house was like the party house for them and for me at that time. I started getting into the kegs and drinking and doing that weird thing called smoke weed. You know, my mom and dad would let me go to my friend's house that lived behind us, and his dad let us smoke weed, you know. And so I started drinking, whenever I could, as much as I could. Right around 15 years old, I developed a small meth problem. And then I stayed awake for like 17 years, you know what I mean? I was up. And, 15 years old, my life changed. From 15 to 32 years old, the way I lived my life was not how I thought I was going to live my life. You know, and what happened to me with drinking and using it is my lifestyle changed. And all of a sudden, I'm walking through the kitchen getting my mom's TV, right? I developed another little bad problem at that time. It was a borrowing problem. I started borrowing from my neighbors, borrowing from my mom, borrowing from my dad. You know, and I was always borrowing things that people really don't want to loan you, like their money, their jewelry, you know, their car, because I got to get where I got to go. I had to sell the TV, so I need the car. It's too heavy, right? That was another TV I took, actually, from my dad. We'll probably get there. But, yeah, so I start living this lifestyle now, you know. And I don't mean to go live this lifestyle. I'm just trying to feel comfortable. I'm just trying to feel okay, you know, and I don't. Except for when I drink. And drinking makes me feel better. You know, it's described it alters our perception. It alters my view on the world, right? My surrounding. And when I don't have that, I am just uncomfortable, right? I can't live. I can't breathe. I can't be here. I can't be there, you know? And I take a couple of drinks, man, and I'm good. So I would go on, you know, like I said, over the next 17 years to live this lifestyle that I never really planned. Real quickly, I became into all kinds of different criminal activity with the borrowing, you know, and that just progressed. We ended up doing like home robberies, things like that, you know, getting into people's homes when they weren't there. And I'm drinking and using on a daily basis. By the time I'm 17 and a half years old, I had stayed up one month way longer than I should have. And I fell out at one house, and I woke up at another house. I don't know where I was. I don't know how many days it had been. I'm laying on this couch. This little kid's looking at me. I'm uncomfortable, and I need to get out of there, right? on the way out, I pick up their phone, and I have this thing. So I call mom and dad up, and I ask for help, right? And I didn't mean to do that. I just thought that sounded good. I really didn't need help. Not like how they wanted to give it to me, right? How I wanted it, comforted and loved and more, you know, money for what I needed. But they didn't see it that way. So I call them and ask them if I could come home, and they said, yeah. But they said, hey, you got to go into the care unit. So already at that time, and this is my perception of it, they're yelling at me all the time, telling me to stop drinking. I heard that a lot in my life. Stop drinking. Stop drinking. Stop drinking. The very one thing that makes me feel better is the one thing you want me to give up. Now, I get meth. Staying up for, you know, 6 months is bad. You know what I mean? But the alcohol, I never wanted to give that up, you know? So I called them up, asked them if I'd come home. They put me in the care unit. That's my first introduction to Alcoholics Anonymous. I go in there for a 30-day stint. I was almost 18 years old. They put me over on the adult side, and everybody in there was way older than me. They were like in their 40s, and you know, I'm just like, this isn't cool. I don't belong here, obviously. Now, I knew they did. You know, they were doing things like losing families, losing jobs. You know, it was very clear to me that they needed to be there. And I remember being in there, and one of them would want to leave, and we would all gather up. And I remember sitting right amongst them, telling them, like, quoting the stuff that we see on the walls, right? You need to be here. But I don't, you know. I just need a break. You know, 17 and a half, almost 18 years old, I'm tired, you know. And I got out of there very first night. Day I got out of that night, I'm with my buddies. I'm running the streets again. I'm off and running. I'm back in there a year later. I have the same experience. I did 45 days that time. And I, you know, it has nothing to do with me. I would go into the meetings, and I didn't hear anything when I was in there because it had nothing to do with me, you know. I truthfully, I can't even really tell you what I thought the problem was. I just know that I wasn't right. And I have no idea how to fix that in me, right? In and of myself, I can't do that, you know? Over the years, I've learned how powerful this illness is, and where it really centers is in our mind. I didn't know that. You know, everybody told me I had a drinking problem, you know, or a drug problem. And I never agreed with that. And I heard somebody, and I've heard it many times over the years, and it was that, you know, they come to understand that alcohol wasn't the problem, which we know it was the solution, you know, and it was my solution, you know, because that's what changed everything that was going on up here for a while. And I needed that. So I get out of there. I'm about 19 years old. Doing the same thing. I started working at different construction sites pretty early on. I was probably 16 and a half years old, and I would go in, you know, and clean up sites, and I started learning how to paint and do drywall and things like that. And plus, that's a really good area to get their stuff and then sell it, you know, and then show up the next day and be like, oh man, that's too bad, you know, you need to get security. I'll do it. You know what I mean? Always trying to find that angle. which would later on really come to help me learn in construction and, you know, how electricals ran and gas and phones and things like that. That's pretty cool because it helped me later. So at about 20 years old, I meet my first wife. And I'd like to say we fell in love. We didn't fall in love. We drank alike and we used alike, and I guess we could stand to be around each other long enough to have a baby. And we ended up having our first child, Miranda. Now, when she got pregnant with that little girl, immediately I loved that little girl before she was even here. You know, I was real excited to be a dad and want to be part of this little girl's life. And I was going to be a different dad and a different parent than like my mom and dad. You know what I mean? Like they were the problem, except for when I needed help. And then they weren't really the problem anymore. But, and I would use them, you know, all the way until I came into here to get what I wanted from them. So I have that little girl, we have that little girl, and for like the first month she slept on my chest, and you know, that fear that new parents had, you know, I'm afraid she's going to stop breathing or get hurt, or, I mean, I absolutely adored that little baby, and I wish that was enough. But now, I didn't stop drinking and using, but I loved that little girl. A few years later, about almost 4 years later, we have my second daughter, Tori, and you know, I'm working at this cable company, and I'm doing installs for them, and I'm, you know, I learned kind of a trade through them, and I end up getting shipped out a few years after that. I think they were like, I don't even know how, 5 years old, I think Miranda was. We get shipped out, and we go up to Florida, and we're out there working, and I'm supposed to be out there on a 2-year contract within the first year, and my wife gets a boyfriend. And ends up leaving. That's what I said. like, talk about being resentful. I mean, I had a girl I was seeing, but I didn't call her my girlfriend, you know what I mean? So I think that was cool, you know, and I didn't leave, you know, but she leaves, you know, she's definitely one of us. You know, she's one of us, and when she left two little girls, right? That's what happens, you know? And so I have these two little girls, and I'm out in Florida, and I do what I do. I call my parents up, and I ask them if I could come home. And they said, yeah, and they allowed me to come back. And, you know, at this time, they're helping me out because of my kids, and they really do want, like, the best for me, but I can't see that. You know, I just see them as the problem, you know? And always on my back, and I came back out from Florida, and I'm trying to find jobs here and odd jobs, and they end up helping me, and I move into a duplex, and I love duplexes. I don't know about you guys, but I have a problem with, like, well, everything, but I have a problem with, like, the electric company. I hate them. You know what I mean? Like, they will shut you off, right? You don't pay the bill. I have a problem with landlords. They want the rent from, like, the first to the fifth, or they charge you more. I don't have the first money. How am I going to pay the extra? You know what I mean? I got a problem with the neighbor. The neighbor's all mad at me because apparently my house is really loud. You know what I mean? And but I love duplexes because I tap into the electrical in the attic. You know? I'm not really upset with the gas company because you can just break that metal thing off. You know what I mean? Turn it back on yourself. And then I need a phone, obviously, so I tap into the neighbor's phone. And it's cool, except for when it rings, and I answer it, and the neighbor answers it, and it's for me. You know what I mean? That's really uncomfortable. And I remember that neighbor got real mad at me, and I can't see why. You know what I mean? They're, like, dramatic, and it's just, you know, they are who they are, whatever. So... But then I got mad at them, and I decided, you know what, I'm going to show them, right? So they're the type of weirdos that get up every morning and go to work. Like, they take their kids, and they take them to school on time. Like, I have trouble getting my kids to school. I have trouble feeding my kids, right? I have trouble being, I love them, but I'm just incapable of being the dad that obviously they need. And then I've got this stupid neighbor that's, like, taking their kids to school on time, and they're going off to work, and they're mad at me because of the phone. You know, they don't know about the electricity, but so they leave for work one day, and I'm going to get even. And I go up in my attic, and I cut a hole through the drywall, and I come into their attic, and then I just pop up the attic thing, and I jump down in their house, and I'm going to take their stuff. The problem is, when I got into their house, it was, like, really clean. Like, everything was put away. There was food in the refrigerator. I don't know how your houses are, but mine got holes in the walls. The doors are kicked off the hinge. I've got one couch just standing up on the end. I don't know why. I have a little white rat that's running around the house. I have people coming in and out of my house at all hours of the night. They don't know if the rat's real or imaginary, so they're trying to kill the rat. I've got two little kids that are running around screaming for me, or my girlfriend at that time. I got a new girlfriend. That was cool. She was a closet drinker. Literally, she drank in the closet. And that's pretty cool if you're worried about your girlfriend cheating on you, because you can just watch the closet door, right? And so I loved her. And she loved working on lighters and broken lighters and things like that. And I would find these lighters, and it was a really, really good relationship. I end up in the neighbor's house, and I'm sitting there, and it's, like, really, really clean. There's food in the fridge. I made a sandwich. I sat down on the couch, and I'm watching TV. You know, they had a really nice TV. And I'm thinking, man, this is the life, like, right? And then I hear all this screaming and yelling and kids screaming, and they're trying to talk to the girl in the closet, and they're hungry, and that lady's yelling, "Where's your dad?" And I'm thinking, Jesus, how can you live next door to this, right? And that's my family, you know? So I crawl back up through the attic. I didn't take none of their stuff. I vacuumed, and... I didn't want them to know I was there because I wanted to come back, right? And I did a few times. I believe my life to be the normal life, right? yeah, so So I come back over and I'm trying to shut the kids up and I'm just living my life. And at this time, I'm really unemployable because I stopped going to work. And my brother was out in Florida. He had stayed out there a little bit longer and he came back out here to describe my brother. The drive from Florida was about 4 days. It took him 3.5 months to get back out here. And that's because every state that he hit, he got DUI, or open container, and paraphernalia, you know. And when he would hit that, they want to get paid before they let you go, you know. So a couple times my parents paid, and then the rest of it he had to do his little time. And then finally he got home, and, you know, he's unemployable too. And we had came up with a good idea, entrepreneur, we were going to start borrowing on a different scale. So we start borrowing on a different scale, which really had to do with any store was unsafe. Any vehicle, truck that had tools or anything in it, we would follow them around. We started hitting commercial businesses, smoke shops, you know. I don't want to give up too much information. We are recorded, right? But I will say... dates and times, right? I mean, they already got me on camera, like, you know. So anyways, I hit a Lowe's one time in the middle of the night, and that was really their fault because they were building this brand new Lowe's, and before they had put everything in it, and they did have security, but I don't know what this dude was doing, but I came strolling through, and the back door was open, and I thought, let's go see what's inside. So I went inside, and in the back room, they had all these boxes of these computers. I mean, and they're all hooked up together, really nice stuff. And I loaded my car up, right? And by this time, it's like 1, 2 o'clock in the morning, and I've got a business guy that would buy, you know, cigarettes from us and things that we found. And... So I call him up, and dude would, I mean, he didn't live like I live, but he would come up, and he would come out to our hotel and in the middle of the night, and probably the only person that ever trusted me. But he would show up in the middle of the night, and I remember me and Susie were talking about that. I remember dude was like, hey, these ain't from around here, right? And I'm like, no, you know, they're not. And so I hook one up for him, and we're in Redlands, and... the screen pops up and it says Lowe's Redlands. I mean, so we discounted the price and he ended up taking them but I'm just living my life, right? And I'm getting to the point where I end up getting kicked out of that place. Right prior to getting kicked out of there, I don't know how you guys come in and out of your homes, but the way I do is through the back window. You know, because I don't want to run into the neighbor. I don't want to run into my parents. I don't want to run into the landlord, you know. And if somebody knocks on the door, I'm automatically jumping out the back window, you know. It could be a buddy, but they should have called. But the neighbor got mad, you know what I mean, because it's their fault. But I'm just living my life. I'm dragging these two little girls around in places they should never be, you know. And by this time, me and my brother are living in hotels, motels. We have borrowed cars, stolen cars. You know those days that, where you have nothing, and like the idea of just having a soda from 7-Eleven, you know, I can't even scrape up enough money to do that. You know, I'm in my car, it's out of gas, I drop my kids off at my parents' house, it's cold outside, you know, I'm sitting, close to them. My mom knows I'm out there and has one of the family bring me out food, you know. And at that time, it's like the best thing I've ever eaten. I have no help and no hope. I'm not with my little girls. And then other times, I mean, we're rolling. You know, we got 2 or 3 throwaway cars. We've got the rent paid up on a hotel for 3-4 weeks. I'm getting loaded every day. We're out running around. At one point, my brother ended up getting a job at a taxi cab company. And so they give my brother this car. And they do have, like, trackers on them. But this is bad. But anyways, so the first time that he goes to after a certain amount of time, they want you to bring all the money in. And then so he goes down there to do that and then decides to tell them that he got robbed. And he gives them no money but a sob story, and they end up letting him keep the car. Well, we ended up keeping this car for about a month and a half, right? And they had shut the meter off, and they're tracking it. But we were in it night and day. The car never sat still until one day we did run out of gas. And I remember that guy come up, and he overreacted. But he come up, and we had went to get gas and came back, and he's just throwing our stuff out of the car, right? And I'm mad at him because he wants his car back. And he's disrespectful because he's throwing our stuff on the ground, right? I thought we should beat him up, but my brother was like, they're going to call the cops. And, you know, so, and, but, you know, and like I said, at this point, I'm not seeing my kid. I had dropped my kids off. We went out to do what we do. And I had every intention on going back. Every intention on being back there to pick these two little girls up, right? Every intention to think I'm a good dad, and as long as they're with me, I can protect them, right? And it had been a few months, and we were out on a crime spree, and my, again, end up like, so in the middle of this crime spree, me and my brother get separated from what we're doing. I go in to rob the store. I guess I'm taking too long. He's got to go to the bathroom. So I'm coming out one door with all their stuff. He's going in the other door to go to the bathroom. And luckily, he left the keys in the car. So I run out and jump in the car. I'm circling the neighborhood. The cops are showing up. I'm, where's this moron at, right? I'm trying to find him. Then I see my dad drive by, and my brother's in the car. And I'm like, great. You know, so now I'm chasing my dad down to get my brother back in the car so we can go sell what we got. I'm just about out of gas. We're on the freeway. I finally get their attention. We get off the freeway. I ask my dad for some money. My dad's not giving me any money, but he goes to put gas in my car. Now, when we're putting gas in the car, I'm sitting there pumping the gas, and I'm thinking, okay, I got to go see if Mike's home. We got to drop this stuff. We got to get the, you know, I got to get what I got to get because I'm just not right, and I'm feeling it. And as I'm pumping the gas, my dad's doing what he does, and he's talking to me, and he's talking to me about my life. He's talking to me about how drinking's a problem, and I'm just like, you know, you're like, you need to go, you know? And right in the middle of that, he said, we took custody of your girls. And I'm like, ah. Oh. Like that I felt. Part of me was like, that's going to be the best thing for them. At this point, with my drinking and using, with no help and no hope, I understand what the book's talking about, that I'm going to go on to the bitter end. That's the way it's described in the book. Now, I know my life is going to be the way it is. I have no idea how to change it. I don't even know what's wrong with me, you know? And then the other part of me is that's how they always are. They're always trying to get in my business. Why don't they just leave me alone? Give me my girls back, you know? I go on for a few more months, and we're doing what we're doing. I'm living in the same scenario. We're committing crimes on it every day, and I end up there's petty theft that I did, and then there was another one that they said was an armed robbery. I didn't agree with that, but you know, anyways, I go in to do another crime, and I'm at a Circle K. One of the things I would do is go in and take all their cigarettes from behind the counter, and I would leave with them. And I go into this one to do that. And right as I'm getting ready to walk up to the door, there's a cop pulls into the parking lot. And I'm like, oh, okay. So I backtrack and I come back, and my brother jumped on the phone. I'm like, hey, we're in the middle of a robbery here, dude. And he's on the phone. I'm like, dude, we got to go. And before I knew it, the cop just was there to get coffee. And I had saw him throw his coffee out. And before I knew it, it's gun out, get down. They're looking for me for these robberies. And they end up, you know, arresting me and him that day. I go up to West Valley out there in Fontana, and I end up doing 15 days out there on the petty theft and the armed robbery. They didn't file charges on me. There's a lot of things in my life that I don't know why they happened, but I mean, I thought that was a pretty cool one. You know what I mean? It wouldn't be till I come in here that I find out that God orchestrates events in our lives to get us to where we need to be. You know, at this point, my mom and dad want nothing to do with me. I would call there, and my mom would say, "We ain't got no money, and you can't come here," and she would put the phone down. You know, and I got out after doing 14 days up there, and this was December 4th that I got arrested. December 5th of the year 2000 is my sobriety day. So I haven't had a drink or use since then. And I'm coming up on 24 years. And so I got out of there and I called my mom out that day and I said, "Hey, can I come home?" And for whatever reason that day, my mom said, "Yeah." And I came home. There again, orchestration in my life that I don't even know. And I got home and I'm one of the things that have been happening is my brother has been coming in and out of AA for many years. And my mom and dad lived across the street from what is called the Redlands Unity Club. And one of the things he was doing was taking that daughter of mine, Miranda, in and out of your guys' rooms. And when I got home that next day, my little girl asked me if I would take her over to get some candy, which is a storage right next to it. And being the good dad that I am, I hit my dad up for some money to take this little girl over to get candy. And as we're walking through the parking lot to get over to the store that we need, she says, "Dad, will you go in here with me?" And that's the only reason I walked into Alcoholics Anonymous. And I had been here a couple times with those stay, and it was nothing for me. I didn't feel I had a problem with alcohol. You know, my life was a problem. You know, and me and that those two little girls, we started going to meetings every day. And coming in and over to the meeting, we would go three times a day over to there. And I met a guy by the name of Gary P. And he was my sponsor for my first 18 years. And he passed away about 6 years ago. You know, and that man taught me a lot. That man was the one that started bringing me up to this meeting about 2.5 years after I was sober. He brought me up here, you know. The one thing that guy did for me, and I hope that I do it and we do it for all of our newcomers. You know, he didn't sit me down and preach AA to me. What he did was he grabbed my hand and he walked me around and he introduced me to you. You know, me to you. And when I was sitting at home thinking, I don't know if I can go over to that meeting tonight, I thought, well, maybe Bob's going to be over there. Or maybe Gail Marie's going to be over there. You know, or Gary, you know. And I would go to the meeting. You know, so we were going to meetings every day for about, how long do I go? Okay. So we started going to meetings, and what happened about after 45 days, I ended up getting picked up on that other charge. I ended up getting 2 years up in Tehachapi State Prison. I got a strike, and I went up in there. The one thing I can tell you is when I went up in there, I was real hopeful that this program was going to work for me. And when I got arrested and they locked me up for that long, I thought, man, you know, this whole God thing, this isn't working for me, right? God's not helping me. Isn't that funny how I'd have that thought, you know? But I went up there and I did 21 months off that 2-year sentence. And I went in there and my sponsor told me, you know, when you get where you're going, go to meetings. And I did. And I got active and involved and giving out chips and being secretary and being part of AA in there. What I can report is Alcoholics Anonymous is alive and well wherever we go. You know, and I got out of there and I came back and I started going to meetings and I started working these steps. You know, and this program has absolutely changed my life. You know, I remember early on going over there with these two little girls and some days my little girls would say, "Dad, you need a meeting." You know, and we would run off to the meeting. And some days they would say, "Dad, I need a meeting." You know, I'm like, "You're 10. Okay. We're going." And the reason that is because when I came over there with those two little girls, Alcoholics Anonymous loved us. And the women surrounded those little girls and they allowed me to go into the meetings. And when they did that, they were helping me be a good father to these little girls. And they would tell me little things. And I didn't really, you know, like, "Hey, tomorrow when you come, bring a brush." You know, and I'd bring a brush and they'd do their little hair while the meeting was going on. And then they would tell me things like, "Hey, don't put them in polka dots and stripes. Like, throw a solid in." You know? I guess that's a rule. So, and then eventually I would put them in a solid and a polka dot. And, And I started doing their little hair, and I started getting them to school on time, and I started being the dad that you guys taught me to be. Today I have three daughters. My third daughter was born December 14th of the year 2000. Like I said, my sobriety date is December 5th of the year 2000. You know, that little girl's never seen me drunk or loaded. You know, what a gift. I've got 8 grandkids now, 3 daughters, 7 granddaughters, 1 grandson. There's a lot of little girls in my life. Recently, 2 of them get dropped off at my house now. I'm active and involved in Alcoholics Anonymous. I'll get that out. You know, I participate in my home group. I have commitments in my home group. I'm part of a Wednesday night speaker meeting. I'm part of the Inland Empire AA convention that's coming up at Sebobo. I was also part of the group that helped move that from where we were to where it is now and restructure. You know, we get to come out and do things like this. We get to come up when you guys are having events and other events, active and involved in Alcoholics Anonymous. But I'm also active and involved in my family. I'm active and involved with those girls' lives. I'm active and involved with my little grandbabies. You know, well, they're getting a little older now. I think my oldest one is 15 years old. And my youngest is 2. You know, what a gift. You know, when I first come into Alcoholics Anonymous, I want what we all want, right? I want a car. I want a job. A relationship that actually lasts long. You know what I mean? Like maybe she might like me. Or even more, I might like her. You know what I mean? I want money in the bank. I want these life things. And what I've really come to understand here in Alcoholics Anonymous is when we come in and we stop drinking, I'm always worried about that stuff, getting it back, right? And what I truly understand, we come in here and we do what we do. We get a little job and we get a little car. That's a given. It just happens, you know? I asked for the wrong stuff. I'm going to close with a little story about my little grandbaby, or my 2 little, Kaylee and Hazel Grace. Kaylee was 10 years old at the time, and she wanted a cell phone. And her mom and dad go, well, go ask granddad. So I go get her a cell phone, right? Well, Hazel Grace is 6 at the time, and she wants a cell phone. Yeah, I even know we can't get a 6-year-old a cell, you know what I mean? And I don't know why that is. I should have just got her phone. But anyways, while I'm down getting Kaylee's phone, I see these little watches. And they can make 4 or 5 phone calls on them. You can plug in, you know. And I got that little watch, and I took it home, and I put it on her wrist. And she called me 36 times that day. Right? Most of the time, she was in the other room. And I could hear her in there. And I could hear her talking to me, and I could hear her giggling, and I could hear the laughter. I didn't ask for that. Right? So when I'm asked to come out here and do these things, I come out and do it. What I really enjoy in Alcoholics Anonymous, to tell you the God's honest truth, I like just sitting in the back. I like putting up the chairs, you know, putting away the trash. I like the quiet little things in AA. You get to hear a lot when you're doing that, you know, the chatter in the room. But when I'm asked to come out and do stuff like this, I do it. If I'm asked to, you know, we got secretary elections coming up, and I've been asked to be maybe that, and I'll do it, you know. And I was asked to help move the convention, and I did it. And I'm asked to be part of that, and I'll do it. But I love the quiet little jobs in AA. Thank you guys for having me.